Parshas Balak. Okay, this week is Parshas Balak. Many ask the question, why did Balak merit that a parsha, a holy parsha in the Torah was given in his honor?
Should have been Bilam.
Because he was from.
So you're touching upon a very good question. Why not Bilam? Who's the protagonist of this parsha? Is it Balak? Is it Balak or is it Bilam? Well, Bilam did all the work. Bilam, he's really the celebrity of this parsha, right? Vayaga, Balak is hiring Bilam, and really everything revolves around Bilam. All of the prophecies we say every single day in davening, Matoivu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. Who is the one that? From whose mouth did those words come? Bilam, Balak. What do we have from Balak? Balak, he had a couple of dollars, so he hired him. Why is it that Balak is the celebrity of this week's parasha? And the what? He's the instigator. Okay, but why do we want? I'm assuming that if we name a parasha after a person, there's something positive. There's something good. You wouldn't want to. It's a zechus. Klal Yisrael, they have a parasha. There are only 54 parashas. Who is the one that named the parashas? We really don't know. This is something that goes back. It's in the Torah. Goes back many years. Intermarried? What would be funny was intermarried.
A donkey.
A donkey. Bilam. Bilam. Okay. Let's talk. So then he asked this question: why? What zechus did Balak have that a parasha be named in his honor? Now let's go look at the Torah. Noach. Noach also gets a parasha. Noach is not a Jew. That's not a kasha, because Noach was given seven mitzvahs. Noach was ish tzaddik, tamid b'derosav. That's not a kasha. Noach deserves. The whole world comes from Noach. The Torah Noach certainly deserves a parasha in his name. Who else do we have as a part of the name? Yisrael. Why not? Yisrael was the first ger. V'haftem es hager. Ki gedim heyisim bi'eretz mitzrayim. How many times in the Torah? Countless numbers, a number of times the Torah tells us that a person should love a ger. Yisrael was the model for all of us. Yisrael deserves a parsha. Is there anyone else that we love? That Pinchas, of course, a kanoi, he saved Klal Yisrael. I just said Yisrael. Korach is a good problem. Why did Korach deserve that a parsha be written after be written in his name? So I think the you have to suggest is that Shnei Kisuvim Haboim Keechad Melamdim. Each one is megala on the other why they were selected, because both of them are really problematic people. Balak is no tzaddikal, okay? He's no tzaddikal, and Korach is certainly no tzaddikal. Each one, we're scratching our heads. Why these people did they merit that a parsha should be given in their name? Maybe we can use this to our advantage, since there are two individuals who stand out, Yotzei Min HaKlal, which we're really baffled. Maybe we can find a common denominator, which will then be a revelation as to why indeed the Torah, why indeed Chazal, who named the parsha, selected these two people and gave them the parsha. And indeed, there is a very, very significant common denominator from Korach. And what is the common denominator? Their children. Uvenei Korach loy mesu. Bnei Korach did teshuva. They stood in the pischa shel gehenim. They did teshuva. Lanatzeach livnei Korach mizmar. We focus on the most critical moment of the year, the moment of din. We bring forth the bnei Korach who had the courage to do teshuva, to reject the father's machlokes, and to do teshuva. That's a tremendous schus for Korach. Korach is in Gehenim. Korach, big bal machlokes. He did terrible, terrible things, responsible for terrible tzaris in Klal Yisrael. But his children, they had the courage to reject his ways, and that's a tremendous schus for Korach. And that zechus of his children, the bnei Korach lo yimesu, and the fact that we go so far to take the words of Korach's children, to use that to our advantage as a tefillah, the moment before the din on Rosh Hashanah, it just goes to show how holy they are, the koyach of tshuva, how holy they are, and therefore it's a zuchus for Korach, and therefore Korach, it's not so terrible that we should write a parasha, give the title of the parasha in his name. No one is perfect, Rabbi Isai, no one. However, when a person... no one is perfect. However, a person should at least plant seeds. The greatest thing a person can do is to plant seeds that from him, later on, after he's no longer here, generations later on, good and benefit that he has planted in this world will cover up, that cover up, will compensate for his own chesroinus, because in tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechata. Now, why is that? Am I saying that has to be the pshat? Because there has to be a common denominator. What's the common denominator? Balak. What came from Balak? What came from Balak? Rus hamovia. Why? Exactly. What did he do to deserve to have Rus hamovia? So Chazal tell us that when Balak got together with Bilam, Bilam said, listen, we can't just go and expect Hashem to come to us at a moment's notice and talk to us. We have to prepare. We have to build mizbechos. Let's build seven altars. Seven mizbechos. And let's offer sacrifices. And you count the psukim, all the different events in the Torah, there were 42 korbanos that were offered by Bilam. By Balak. Not Bilam. Bilam did nothing. Balak went ahead, and on the advice of Bilam, he built seven mizbechos. It's a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. And he offered on these seven mizbechos 42 korbanos. And the Chazal tell us in the zuchus of these 42 korbanos, he was zoicha that his descendant would be Rus HaMoavia. And Rus HaMoavia is the mother of the a few generations up of David HaMelech, which brings Mashiach. So it's an amazing thing. That means, now let's I'm going to come back. Let's just go in circles a little bit. Let me ask you another question. I'm going to come back to this point one more. Let's ask another question. Why is it that Bilam, who was the prophet, who's the one who said these incredible things, the words that he says in this pasuk are just so beautiful, they're so eloquent, and they're so fundamental to our understanding of Hashem's ways, of Yadus, nothing came from Bilam. Zero. And yet Balak, who is the one who hired Bilam, he saw Klal, he saw, Bilam would have done nothing. Bilam would have sat around and done nothing. He would have just played with his donkey the whole day. And Balak, he's the instigator. He's fully responsible for all the tragedies. Balak went and he saw what the Jewish people did to Aram. And he said, I saw what these people are capable of doing. Hinei am yatsa mimitzrayim, hinei chisas ein aretz, v'hu yoshev b'muliv yatol l'chano aruli yasam azeh. Ki atzum hu mimeni, they're more mighty than I. Ulai, uchal nakebo v'agoshelem in aretz. Ki odad. So why is it him, Balak, is zoiche to have a child, a descendant that will be the Melech HaMashiach? And he's a nothing. And Balak is not a prophet. He's an ordinary fellow who happened to hire Bilam. Whereas Bilam, who has it all, he has the talent, he has Nevu, he sees a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's an equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing comes from Bilam. So the commentators answer, what? What does Rashi say?
Because he was a son of Israel.
Who is the son of Israel?
Bilam.
And Balak wasn't?
Balak
was even worse.
But Balak was threatened.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't threatened.
Where does it say he was threatened? He sees them. He doesn't say, so let him just move away. He doesn't say, the Klai Yisrael is a very peaceful nation.
Bilam had no vested interest in the Jewish people at all, except he hated them.
But he wasn't an instigator. Okay, so the answer, you're touching upon something. This is what I saw in the difference from putting things together, and that is Bilam was a Baal Taiva. Everything he did was the midos were corrupt. He did it for the money. He did it for the covet. Ki chabed achabed chameoid. He did it, I'll pay you money. Bilam was a person of horrible character, horrible midos. He had all the talent in the world, but the midos were the worst in the world. Balak, it's very interesting insight. Balak had an appreciation of who Klal Yisrael is. Balak may have been an ordinary person. He may not have been gifted. He may not have been gifted with prophecy, but Balak, he saw greatness. He saw the greatness of Klal Yisrael, and he was afraid. Being afraid, Chazal say, "Virahu kol ame ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimeka." In order to be afraid of us, the pasuk reveals you have to see Hashem. If its pasuk says vayogar moyav, it says in the pasuk it says vayogar moyav mipnei ha'om ki ravhu. They were afraid. What does it mean? They were afraid. They saw Hashem. Contrast that with the Maisa Akeda. By the Maisa Akeda, Avraham went with Yitzchak to the Akeda. Who did he take along with him? Yishmael and Eliezer. And what did he say to them? Vayar es hamokoy meirochoik. And he asked them, do you see anything? It says there in the Medrash Rashi calls the pasuk, do you see what I see? You see the Shechina? And they said, no, we don't see nothing. Eliezer and Yishmael says, we don't see anything. You don't see anything? Shvu lochem po imachamar. Like Balak, like Bilam. Sit with your donkey. Am hadoyme lachamar. You don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't see Hashem. You don't see what's going on over here. You don't see. You're a donkey. Shavu lachem poyim hachamar. I see Hashem. Yitzchak vayar es hamokoyim meirochayk. Balak had something very positive going for him. Balak was a person whom we can say about vayar es hamokoyim meirochayk. He saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. Balak. Balak wasn't the Navi. He wasn't the Navi. What is a Navi? A Navi is a chozer. A Navi is someone that has is privy to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You see Hashem. You see what goes on in Shemayim. And you come and you communicate. Look at the irony of this week's parasha. Here you have Bilam. And Bilam is giving over to the world the most eloquent, the most informative information about the secrets of this world. And yet Bilam is an Am Hadoyme Lachamor. Mamesh, Pshutukim Hashem, he lives with his donkey, the Osoim. Because he doesn't see Hashem. Balak is your ordinary Joe walking down the street. He doesn't have any shaykhis to the Tifa Sugis, Rabbi Kiva Eger's, and the Ketzois, and the Nesivos, and all the Shver Sugis above the Mitzvah. He doesn't know from these things. But he has a certain sense. Vayar es hamokoyim meirochayk. He sees the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'rohu kol ami ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yadu mimeka. And when you see the shem Hashem, what's the proof? Vayar es hamokoyim meirochayk v'yadu mimeka. Was Amalek afraid of us? They weren't afraid of us. They attacked us. They weren't afraid. They couldn't kill us. They attacked us. Why were they afraid of us? Because Amalek is an Am Hadoyme Lechamar. They don't see the Mokoy Meirochoyk. Balak is a very holy person. He's a very holy person. Vayares Amokoy Meirochoyk. They saw V'rohu kol Am Eretz Kishem Hashem Nikra V'yodu Mimeka. It happens to be, here's where he goes sour. He was afraid of us. So he wanted to eliminate us because he was afraid of us, v'chulu v'chulu. But he has it. And because he has it, when he offered his sacrifices, his 42 sacrifices, when he built the Mizbechais, there's something very authentic in this hakara of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And at the time, it didn't work out for him. He was killed. He had a gruesome end. But that spark was there. It was passed down to generations. And believe it or not, From that comes the Melech HaMashiach. Can't deny the fact. The Melech HaMashiach comes from that. Korach? Korach was a Rasha. Big Baal Machlokes. He says Chazal, he's in Gehenna. No apologies for Korach. But Korach, there had to have been a spark of Hakara. Kol ha'om, kulam kidoshim. Uvisoicham Hashem. Isn't that what he said? Korach said, every single person here is holy. Every single person, I can see the Ribbono Shel Olam in every single person. They have this in common. Both Balak and Korach, uvisoicham Hashem. His only problem was, he made a big mistake. Umadua tisnasu akahal Hashem. Why you, Moshe, do you lord over us? Why do you have to be special? I see the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you see the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're already half there. And to be perfect, no one's perfect. In tzadik ba'aris shayasa v'leil yechata. Just take the mildness you have, plant some seeds, and in the future generations it will percolate, it will sprout, it will grow, it will develop, and something positive will come from it. U'b'nei karach lo'y meisu, from Balak comes the Melech HaMashiach. Bilam was a guroi satal mechach. Goin sheb goinim. There's nothing he did not know. He knew the Zohar better than the Zohar. He knew everything. He knew the secrets will go on the Pamal Yishalmaila like none other. But yet, he didn't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Shemayim also, you have to be able to say, they say that Shemayim, you think it's so different in Shemayim? Shemayim is also, what to do to be able to uncover, to see the Ribbono Shel Olam in Shemayim, in the Olam HaEmes. What?
Why weren't
they
Korach punished for their
sins? Why should they? The question is only the other way around. When you find someone being punished, then you have to ask the question. But the default is you're not punished. Perish apostate. Lo yumsu avos al banim, banim lo yumsu al avos. In the beginning, they participated. They were part of the father's team. And then when they realized the father's making a very big mistake, they removed themselves from the machlaikis. They did teshuva. Uvenei karach lo mesu. Okay, so this is a very important yesoid. It's not so much about what you know to be a Talmud Chacham. There are a lot of good heads out there, Rabbis. There are a lot of big, big Talmidei Chacham out there. But how many Talmidei Chachamim can you say about them, they see Hashem? It's not a joke. It's just because you sit and learn the whole day, do you see the Ribbono Shel Olam? You can take Bechinas. You take a Bechinas on a Daf Gemara. You have to learn with accountability. I know every single word in the Gemara. Do you see the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Gemara? Is there accountability to be makir the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's the lesson you learn from Korach and Balak. Korach and Balak were problematic people. They were so problematic, you don't want to be anywhere near them where they are now. But they had a milo. And the milo was Vayar Es Hamokoi. Korach, Merochoi, Korach saw Kol Ha'om Kulom Kidoishim Uvisoicham Hashem. I see the Ribbono Shel Olam everywhere. Why are you Moshe greater? I said, he saw Hashem. Bolok, Vayogo Moyov Mibnei Ha'om. What are you afraid of? There's only one reason why you're afraid of Klal Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. That's what brings the Yoru Mimeka. If it says here, V'yogar mo'yev ibnei ha'am, it's because he saw Hashem. Bilam knew everything there is to know. But Bilam did not see Hashem. And that's why Bilam is a nothing. He doesn't get honorable mention. He's a nothing. Shvulachem poyamachamar, just like Eliezer Yishmol, they did not see Hakadosh Baruch. Okay, let's go now to another yisoid. We have in the Haftarah. Beautiful Haftarah. Micha. So we're learning now. We're learning Micha. We didn't get to the Haftarah yet. Chaval. We didn't get. But it's coming up soon to the parasha. And one of the reasons why there are many, you know, you can analyze every pasuk as to why we read the Haftarah, but there's certainly one pasuk that stands out front and center as to why we read the Haftarah. Ami, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael,
me asisi lcha uma heel a sicha anei bi Hashem says, what's your problem, you Jewish people? What complaints do you have against me? I've been so good to you. And it goes on to say, ani zichorno mayoatz Balak melech moyav. Remember what Balak, his counsel, his advice, he persuaded Bilam to come to curse Melech Moav Umeh Onoloi Bilam ben Baar. Menashitim aragilgal lemandas tzidkos Hashem. Okay, so here we have a pasuk here in the Haftarah that explicitly reminds us of what happened in our week's parasha, and Hashem says to remember this. Now the question is, if the pasuk here says in the Haftarah that we should remember this, how are we mekayim this pasuk, this directive? We have the sheish zechiros. Every day we're supposed to say, we're supposed to remember, we're supposed to remember certain things. Sheish. Okay, you have the sardim, and you also have 10. There are different opinions as what are the, what a person should remember. But there's a whole list of things that we remember. How come we don't add to the list the story of Bilam and Balak? It's an explicit instruction that was given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam through the Navi Micha. Ami, my nation, zichorna. No, is it not a pasuk? Zichorna. Remember what happened. So how come we don't fulfill this pasuk? How come it's not in the back of the Siddur as one of the zichiras? So the answer I saw is we do. We actually do. The first thing we do, you come into the Beis HaKnesses, is you say, Matoivu Oihalecha Yaakov Mishkino Secha Yisrael. Who is the author, the composer of those beautiful words? Matovu? Bilam. Bilam, why, how did that come about for the whole story of Bilam and Balak? So the truth is, not only do all the other zechiros in the Siddur we talk don't do, unfortunately. Many of us, you know, not everyone recites the parish of Miriam and the parish of Mon and Shabbos. Not everyone does all of those things every single day. But this taka, this you do when you come to shul. The first thing you say is Ma Tov Olach Yaakov Mishnah Sachishol. So we should remember that every time we say that pasuk, indeed we are being mekayim what it says. This instruction, Ami Zuchar No Mayatz Bolak Ben Melech Moya. Now comes the next question, building up. The next question though is that that's indeed true. What about everything else that Balak Bilam said? Bilam in this week's parasha said words that are so eloquent, so awesome. Why is it that the only section of the bracha of Bilam, of the words of Bilam that have been preserved and been added to our liturgy in a significant way is this one pasuk Ma'atav Olach Yaakov? Everything else, we know it. We speak about it, we learn about it, but it's not fluent in our befith. It's not part of the Nusach HaTzfilah. Chazal did not borrow from those words and add it to the liturgy. Why not? So Chazal, give the answer. The answer is because all of the klal, all of the brachos were just a revelation of what he of the curses. In other words, he really wanted to curse us. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and influenced him, it switched. It switched. Hashem was mahapech kilala libracha. Oh, we'll come to Matov in a moment. So Matov also, luchar, you should say, should be the same thing. He really wanted to say, and in Farshim actually they say that it really was meant to be a klala. What's the klala? What's the call of Matovu? The word ma. What's the word ma? Ma means, normally we look ma as how beautiful. Ma means it's a very beautiful, but ma also nothing. Means nothing. Ma toivu olecha Yaakov. What's the big deal? All these shuls and synagogues. What are they doing there? They talk lashon hara. They fight. They use it for their advantage. For kavod. They do ma toivu. What's the toiv? Big deal. Ma toivu. That's what he really wanted to say. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and said, no. I don't want you to say anything bad about my people. I want you to change the inflection. I want you to say, not ma, don't say, ma tovu, big deal. You say, ma tovu ahelecha Yaakov. It's a statement. It's not a negative It's all a matter of how you say it. The same exact words. Okay, that also can be an answer, but let's just use that as a springboard. The truth, every single one of the blessings that was said by Bilam was really intended to be expressed, the idea, I don't know if the exact words, but the idea was meant to be expressed as a klala. In the opposite way, that it came out, it was meant to be klala. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and said, don't do it, there was a shift. There was a shift and caused him to reverse 180 degrees and to turn what he meant to curse into a bracha. And Chazal, it's very frightening, they tell us, that after Klal Yisrael did Averos, they were choyte, they did not listen to the prophets, they did terrible Averos, all of the brachos indeed were reversed and turned into klolos. Okay? With the exception of one. There's one exception. And that is Matoivu Oyolecha Yaakov. That never turned into a klola. We're going in circles. Why not? Why not? So we're going over here in circles. Going back and forth. The bottom line is, everything was meant to be a klola. And Hashem told Bilam, don't you dare. Instead, everything should be a bracha. And indeed, everything was recited as a bracha, with one exception. Matoivu, but then because we were chayte, it went from bracha, it went back to klala. There's one exception to this, and that is why is matoivu different? So there's a very insightful Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim opens up a very, very fascinating idea. When Bilam was told by Hashem, "Watch your mouth. Don't you dare, I only want bracha," he still tried to outsmart Hashem. How? All the brachas begin with the words Vayisa Mishaloi Mashu, Mishaloi Vayomar. Which Rashi, the Baal HaTurim, he raised up his voice and he said. I think Rashi says he raised up his voice that the whole world should hear the blessings. Now, you would think at face value, that's a very nice thing. It's very nice when you open up the New York Times on the front cover, it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Who is like the Jewish people? Okay? With the New York Times, with all these secular, will they ever write something good about us? Very rarely. Once in a while they do, but very rarely. Mika Amcha. Wow. Bilam's a nice guy, right? He's a nice guy. He wrote editorials in all of the newspapers. He had influence to get his editorial on the front page of all the major media outlets. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Sounds pretty good, right? That's what Rashi says. The Baal HaTurim says no. He was trying to outsmart Hashem even at the very last moment. His goal was, let us cast an ayin hara. You don't need to come onto an ayin hara. It's pure psychology. The Chavetz Chaim writes, this is halacha in Hilchos Lashon Hara, don't praise someone too much. When you praise someone, it's just like human psychology. When you go and you stay about a person, you praise and you give over sincere praise publicly, people get jealous. And when they get jealous, they right away say, but... Yeah, you're right. This fellow, he's such a good guy. But there's a mila he does not have. And this one will tell you a mila. Everyone will feel the pain. Why are you only praising him and not me? Everyone likes a little covet. Why are you praising him and not me? And it triggers a shtickle jealousy. And it leads you, even in your thoughts, but. There's always a but, there's always a chesar. You don't have to come on to ayin hara. Okay, ayin hara is a more Kabbalistic approach. Talk about just normal human psychology. It is forbidden in halacha. It's kedai to praise. I always joke around people. People are very machmer on this, halacha. They're very machmer not to praise someone too much, so they don't say anything nice, period. They won't even say a good word, period, about someone else, which is also wrong. Okay, to give a small amount of praise is correct. Not too much, to make people jealous. But to give what a person deserves, you can say something nice about it. No harm done. You don't have to be so machmir in this halacha. Bilam was outsmarted by Hashem. Hashem says, don't you dare say any curses. I only want you to give blessings. Okay, Hashem, you're twisting my arm. But if I'm going to give blessing, I was just going to plan to give my curse quietly. Now they tell me, I was just going to curse them. You know, I'm here all alone. Who's listening? No one's listening. But now that you tell me I have to go and after this, I have to go and I have to praise them. Oh, praise them? You know what? Let's do a podcast. Let me take out my smartphone. Let me go call up all the news media. Let's link up with every television station, every news outlet, and let me give the bracha for the whole world to hear. Vayisa mishaloi vayoymar. Why? I want the world to get jealous. I want the world to get jealous. And I say, Mika Amcha Yisrael, they're going to get so jealous because I'm the biggest prophet in the world, and Hashem is speaking through me. And they're all going to be so jealous, and they're going to then say, but, and it's going to create anti-Semitism, and then the goyim, the umay sa'olam, will finish us off. I'll plant seeds of anti-Semitism by making the world jealous. Many of the experts, everyone is struggling, scratching their heads, why do they hate us so much? And everyone has a different theory. And one of the theories, they're all true, all the theories are true, but one of the theories that's top on the list is they're jealous. Pshutukim Hashemai, they're jealous of us. So you know what? Let me help. Let me add to that jealousy. So I'm going to outsmart you, Hashem. I was going to say my klola quietly. Now that you tell me to say bracha, I'll say bracha fine. But it's going to be vayisa mishaloi vayoymar, and I want the whole world to hear. They should be jealous, and they're going to be jealous. Then they'll make problems. So, and that's indeed what happened. That's what all of the brachas ended up turning into klala. Because for every bracha that was said publicly in the world, the goyim found a but. They found a loophole. They found something to chip away at. And the anti-Semitism came so strong, all the brachas turned into klala. One exception. What's the one exception? The one exception is the one thing that goes against the grain, the fabric of what publicity is. And that is, Matoivu Oyholecha Yaakov. What does Chazal, what does Rashi on this pasuk say? What's the beauty of the tent? So the Pashashat, it means, Bate Kinesios, Bate Midrashais, but it also means, Ayim Panim L'Torah, Shalohayu Pischeyem Michuvanim Ze Eitzel Ze. The Jews are private people. They're private people. They're not here to show off the goods. When they build homes, they build it in such a way that no one should know what's going on in their home. No one should, why not? Not to make people jealous. There are many ideas, there are many different facets to what that means. But the summary of this idea means the Jewish people, they're private. It's none of your business. Shelo yiyu pischeihem michuvanim ze eitzel ze. That theme, they're private people, is the complete diametric opposite of Vayisa Mishalo Vayoymar. Look how great the Jewish people are. It's a contradiction. And I want to publicize something, and the praise is that you're private, there's a degree of privacy. Publicity and privacy are two opposites. So when it says in the Pasuk, Vayisa mishaloi vayoymar, he kaviyochel outsmarted Hashem, so to speak, by, okay, I'm going to give off the praise, but I'm going to give off the praise publicly in order to that people should get jealous and they should rip it away. But he could not possibly praise Klal Yisrael with the bracha of Matoivu Oyholecha Yaakov Mishkinosecha Yisrael publicly. That was not part of the podcast. It was not part of the editorial. Because it goes against the grain of what the praise is. So it cannot possibly be. This is the words of Hashem. This is emes. Everything has to be emes. This is not make-believe here. If the shevach of Matoivu Olecha Yaakov is Kol Kivuda Basmelech Penima, it cannot be this was included in Vayisa Mishaloi. It was Vayoymar. He said these words. But not Vayoymar. Oh, so the Goyim never heard this. They never heard this beautiful praise of Matoiv Olecha Yaakov. So they never got jealous because they never even knew what to get jealous about. So they never went and made trouble for this. They never made trouble for this. This is the only thing that remained forever. Okay, this Baal HaTurim changes everything. Let's review the steps. We start off, Bilam gave incredible bracha. The brachas were all rooted in klal. But because we ultimately sinned, it went back to becoming a klal. But there's one exception. The one exception is Matovu. How come Matovu didn't go back to becoming a klala? The answer is, when Hashem told Bilam to give bracha to Klal Yisrael, Bilam says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm still going to outsmart you. I'm going to give bracha, but I'm going to give the bracha publicly. Why? Because it's human nature. When you praise someone too much, they get jealous. When they get jealous, they look very carefully at what the person, at the bracha, and they're always going to find chesroinos. And they're always going to be able to attack. And it's exactly what happened to us. He outsmarted us, Bilam. But when he came to the bracha, that Klal Yisrael are people who are private. You can't give a bracha to Klal Yisrael and say to you, I'm giving you a blessing that you're private, and reveal this to the world. You can't get up in shul and say, is everyone listening? Is the whole shul listening? I'm now going to tell you all a secret. Ridiculous. A secret means I'm not going to tell it to you publicly. You don't go up in front of shuls, I'm telling everyone, it's not a secret. You don't know how to speak English. That's not called a secret. You're making a public announcement. You don't say, I'm going to tell everyone a secret. That's not a secret means I'm not making a public announcement. If he's giving a bracha, I'm giving a bracha that you're private people, obviously he cannot possibly be that his status is going to be said publicly. That was not said publicly. That is why it is the only thing that remains ad hayoim hazeh. And when we are mekayim the directive of Hashem in the Haftarah, Ami Zichorna, remember what I've done for you. And we fulfill this every day. How do we fulfill this every day? By reciting the Pasuk, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. What are we focusing on every single day? Not everything is for the public. Part of dignity, we live in a world today, this is one of the biggest cities in this world. We live in a world that's never been such a thing like this, social media. The whole mahus, the whole essence of social media is let everything hang out. And I mean everything. Everything hang out. You post on your Facebook page what you ate for breakfast and what your dog ate for breakfast. Okay? And what you're planning to eat for lunch. And your Twitter feed. And on your Instagram, you have to post the most private things. I mean, things that are totally shocking. I could not believe this. I saw a from girl, from married woman. She posted a picture of herself wearing a bathrobe. And this is a from person from this community. Are you crazy? Out of your mind? This is a from a person who's a Shomer Shabbos and Davis in one of our shuls over here, a young woman. She looks probably like she's probably like not even 30 years old, and you post a picture of wearing a bathrobe. It's horrifying. It's horrifying, and this is the generation of social media is everything. Kol kivuda bas melech penima. Dignity is the whole world doesn't have to know every little detail of your life. It's not necessary. Facebook is a wonderful tool. Instagram, Twitter, and the chol hanilvar molav. I don't even know, can it keep up every day with each new form of social media? They're wonderful things, wonderful tools to give over information to the mekadesh shem shemayim. But when it's abused in a way where it violates Matoivu Oyolecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael Shaloyu Pischeim Michuvanim Ze Eitzel Ze, because it's just none of your business. None of your business what's going on by him. Mind your own business. This is the only thing that's left from the bracha of this week's parasha. It's all we got left. And it's a very tough challenge. It really is. It's a tough challenge not to be like the Umos HaOlam, not to follow in that, get swept up. It's a very, very hard thing to take advantage of the technology and then all of the milos that come with it, but not to get swept up and use it in a way that is kineged kol haTorah kula. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to the end of the parasha. we'll jump around a little bit, end of the parasha, and I think this is a very big yisod in life. This is a very, to me, this is a frightening idea, but I really believe in this. And end of the parasha, we have about the story of the Midianim. We have over here at when Bilam failed. He failed to succeed in cursing Klal Yisrael, so he did something very dirty, very low, low of low. He told Balak, listen, Balak, it's not going to work. But I'll give you a better idea. A better idea is cause the Jewish people to be nichshol in Gilui Arayos. Go and have a very elaborate plan, have them, they're going on the road, have a shop. Have a shop where you're going to sell merchandise. And outside the shop, find like Achashverosh, but the opposite. Find the ugliest women you can find in the whole world. The ugliest women you ever seen, find and do a search. And recruit them. Have like a beauty pageant for the ugliest woman in the world. Find them and have them stand outside all of the shops in Midian as they pass through. And these women will say, young men, would you like to buy some food? Would you like to buy some clothing? Would you like to buy a new smartphone? What can we sell you? Let us sell you. So all the rabbis are going to give one look at these women. Gesund to hate. No one's going to be nichshol here. Go do whatever you want. And then on the inside, you have to, in the inside of the shop, recruit the most glamorous, most beautiful women the world has ever seen and have them dress in a provocative way. And also have them have spices, different fragrances, play with their minds, their senses, be very sophisticated. It's a science, how to seduce a young man. And then the old woman on the outside will say, young man, I have over here, you know, it's an older model smartphone, but we just got in yesterday the latest model. We just got in the latest smile and we have an incredible discount. Would you like to see that's inside? Yeah. Go inside. You'll get a better model. It goes inside, and who's inside? Ah, in privacy, there is the woman, the young woman that is glamorous and beautiful and provocative, and one thing leads to another, and before you turn around, all the young Jewish boys are being nichshol in Gilui Arayos. This was the idea presented by Bilam to Balak. Balak liked the idea, he implemented the idea, and it worked. It worked, and many Jews were nichshol in Gilui Arayos. Hashem got angry. Hashem got angry, and Hashem said, you know what, we're going to punish. That's the story of Pinchas, v'chulu. And what happened was, Hashem went, and first we had to discover the perpetrators. Let me read you the pasuk. Rashi over here towards the end of the parasha, Hoika oisam neged Hashemesh. Okay, it's pasuk Dalit. Vayitzam. And by the way, when they had this thing with the women, it was also part of Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's all intertwined. Okay, I told you the gory details that we relate to much more, but also it's 100% connected to worshiping idols. It's all part of the technique. Okay, we're not leave that out for now. It says in the part of the parasha, Vayitzam et Yisrael Baal Pa'ar. They joined Baal Pa'ar. And Hashem, in other words, this plan really worked. It really worked well. It really went off well. And the Jewish people suffered enormously. Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, kach es kol rosh ha'am, v'hoika oisam la Hashem neged Hashemesh. A very strange pasuk. I want you to identify the perpetrators. Not everyone sinned. I want you to identify those young men or those people who did this. So I want you to put them in front of the sun. What does that mean? What does that mean in front of the sun? Pshuto shel mikra. Simple translation. Put them in front of the sun. It's an expression. So Baruch Hashem, we have a Rashi that tells us what this means. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet is the Hoikai Sam es ha'ovdim, the worshippers, the Hoikahi Talia, hang them. To hang them up. What does that mean? Kemosha Mutsin Bivnei Shol, the Hoikaanum La Hashem, they were hung up on a tree. Basically, kill them, execute them, and put them on a tree out in public, and the sun will shine down and exposed. Okay, that is Visham V'sham t'liya mufureshes v'din ha'avoy d'zar b'skilo k'v'chol ha'mitzkal. In other words, I want you to stone them and hang them up. Neged ha'shemesh le'in kol. It means everyone should see who was nichshol in avodah zarah, gilui arayos. They should be stoned and they should be hung up on a tree, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, kol ha'niskalim nitlin. All the people that were killed by Bez, in fact, were hung up on a tree to be seen for a few moments. Then they were taken down and they were buried, just for a few moments. And then Rashi says what we want to get to. Umedrish agada. Another pshat. The pasuk that says Neged Hashemesh, until now we're describing what's done after they're dead. Witnesses will come forward to testify A, B, and C did avodah zarah. They're guilty, they'll testify, they'll kill them, they'll hang them up, they're dead, they'll hang them up. Neged Hashemesh. The Medrash says no. The Shemesh is the means of identifying who the sinners are. Not what you're going to do afterwards. We're going to use the sun to identify. How are you going to use the sun to identify who did the Avera? Rashi says, Medrash Agada, HaShemesh Moidia Es HaChotim. What does that mean? Now, here are the amazing thing Rashi says. He'anon, and I think I feel it personally very, very relevant. Can't prove it to you, but it's a very true thing that I get a sense of how this world works as a religious Jew. Ha'onon nikpal michinegdoi v'achama zoyrech esolav. The cloud will fold and the sun will memela shine on them. Now let me tell you the simple understanding of Rashi, and I'll tell you what I'm trying to say, the drush of Rashi, the words of Rashi. Basically, point the flashlight. Let me point. I'm going to use the sun to point the flashlight at the guilty people. Make believe. Even right now, in the room, we want to identify 3-4 people. I'll take a flashlight and a laser thing, a pencil. You press the button and it points a laser at the people you want to identify. The sun. You'll see it go from tent to tent, and a miracle will happen. Rashi's explaining, they live in the Anane HaKovot. The entire Machane was enveloped in the Anane HaKovot. The Anane HaKovot provided shelter for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to cause a portion of the Anane HaKovot Gesundheit to move away, to allow the rays, the natural rays of the sun to enter. And when it enters, it will serve as a flashlight, as a laser, to identify Hashkocha Pratis, whoever the sun is shining on. It's Hashem's way of showing this person is guilty. So Hashem is just using a laser to point out, by removing the Anani HaKavod in this point, oh, now you know who is the Baal Avera. Get him. Get him, seize him, kill him, and we're done. Have a nice day. That's the Pashup Shot. But I think it's something much, much deeper. And that is, what did Anani... When you punish a person, let's make a hakira. How do you punish a person? There are two ways to punish a person. You take him to court and you beat the living daylights out of him. You tie him down to the chair and you give him malchus. You whip him and you whip him until he's almost dead. And then you kick him and you say, get out of here. That's one way you can punish a person. Or you want to be more sophisticated, money. Give us money. Okay, I'll give you a fine, give us all your money. It's another way to punish a person. And then there's another way to punish a person. Just don't provide protection for him. You tell the police department, he's on a blacklist. If you ever get a phone call that you need help, police, 911, this guy needs help, you are instructed by the President of the United States or by the government, don't you dare ever respond to anything this person needs. If he complains that this water is not working, who cares? So he has no water. Let him live. If no one bothers him, because don't hate. But if someone attacks in the middle of the night and he calls 911, don't respond. If he calls 911 for an ambulance, don't respond. If he comes into the hospital and they say, where's your insurance card? You look at his insurance card and say, expired. Nothing we can do for you. Sorry, go somewhere else. Just take away. Let him live. Don't bother him. Just take away his protection. Things that society have provided for him to be there as protection, as a backup, cancel all those services. And if he happens to ever need those services, no, too bad for you. There's no protection. The way Hashem is going to punish these people, Hashem is not going to send down a bolt of lightning, strike them, electrocute them, punish them, torture them. The way Hashem punishes people that are nichshol in arayos avodah zarah is very subtly. I'm just not going to protect you. We don't appreciate that the biggest bracha we have in this world is not people are praying, they're praying so hard, I should get rich, I should be matzlich here. Just pray that nothing bad happens. How do we conclude the first bracha of Shemona Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. Hashem is our shield. We don't even have a clue of how many bad things could have happened and how many miracles are happening because the Ribbono Shel Olam continuously is enveloping us in the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod exists today. Wherever you walk, the holier you are, the thicker cloud Hashem puts around. You don't see it. You don't see the cloud. But every holy person walks, lives his life enveloped in the Anani HaKavod. And the Anani HaKavod is there to shelter you. It's not there to give you food. It's not there to give you money. It's not there to give you kavod. It's not there to do anything you don't even know. But believe me, if you didn't have the Anani HaKavod, how many problems, how many tsaros, how many things that come out that naturally, the world is a world of chaos. It's a chaotic world. And we need the Anani HaKavod just to shelter us from things that we have no clue. We never even realize how many things could have gone wrong. When you walk from here to your home, how many things could have... You hear different stories of people getting into accidents. It's the timing. The timing. How many times do we do things that are totally irresponsible? We got lucky. We went through a red light. Wow. And we're here to talk about it. How do you go through a red light? I don't know. I just was spaced out. I just I don't know what happened to me. I really don't know how to explain why I went through a red light. I cannot explain to you what happened to me. And you know how lucky we were that we went through that red light. There wasn't a car coming in the other direction. You know what a miracle that is? Had it happened a second before, it would be in the front page of the news. Okay? Hashem is watching out. Hashem is coordinating very carefully. But if Rachmana Litzlan, a person, is nichshol in Aveiro, you know what Hashem says? Hoika oisam neged hashamesh. This guy, let the cloud unfold. I'm not going to punish him. I'm just going to allow the natural things that happen in this world, that the chaos that exists, to overtake him. That's the punishment. And when a person, Rachman son, has a nisoyon, then that's the biggest nisoyon. The nisoyon is to realize, I'll do an avera. Big deal. What's going to happen to me already? You don't realize. The punishment is the Anani HaKavod go away. And we have even in the Nusach HaTzvila, we ask Hashem to save us from the shows, the moments of time in this world, HaMisrak Shois Lovoy La'olam, that are not beneficial. We need shelter from these moments. And that's what we have to behave in order to maintain our shelter. All right, to wind down one last vart in honor of...
What about the 24,000 that he killed in the plague?
That's something separate. Okay, that's they were perpetrators, and then there were people, the perpetrators, they were more significant. They were hung up. And then there were people who participated, they just died naturally in the plague. But over here, Moshe is coming over here to round up the instigators, the leaders of this event. Okay, one more quick idea. Tomorrow, and the Shabbos is Shiva Asa B'Tamos. It's day 17. Day 17 is a Nidche, but it's day 17. What happened on Shiva Asa B'Tamos? The Luchais. Does it say in the Luchais the word Toiv? In the first Luchais? No. Hashem, by design, when he wrote the parasha of Kibbutz Avraham, he left out the word Toiv because Chas v'shalom Paska Toiva mi Yisrael. It's not a coincidence, Rabbi Yisai, that the anniversary for all Doiros of when the Luchos were shattered falls out on day 17, on day the day of Toiv. The 17th day of the month is Toiv. Toiv is the gematria of 17. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, he said, I'm not going to allow them to write in the Luchos the word Toiv. Because if the Luchos are going to be shattered, it's going to be a Chorban to Toiv. We don't know, it's a very deep idea. Hashem didn't just do that for us. Hashem allowed, not only did Hashem protect us and did not allow the word Toiv to be destroyed, Hashem orchestrated that it should happen on the day of Toiv. And the day is always here. The day can never be destroyed. Time doesn't go anywhere. And we can take the day and utilize it as a moment of reflection, of teshuva, to bring good into this world. Okay, it was a horrible day of the Shviras HaLuchos, but the Shviras HaLuchos, the fact that it's on the 17th day means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can take the lessons of Parashas Balak, which is always what comes before Shavuos Matavis, Vayahapech Hashem Elokecha es HaKlolo Liberacha. The Klolo would have been, Toiv would have been destroyed. Hashem was Mahapech, he didn't just prevent the Toiv from being shattered. Hashem brought about that the Luchos were shattered on the day of Toiv. Why? To allow us to use the shattering of the Luchos as a springboard for Toiv. How was the Luchos shattered? What was the trigger of the Luchos being shattered? Because it all started when Vayehi, I forgot the words, Moshe was boishesh loredes minahar. He was late. He didn't have patience. Moshe was a few moments late. Boishesh Moshe Loredes Minahar. Parshas Balak always comes before Shavuosa B'Tamuz. What was Bilam's koyach to curse Klal Yisrael? He knew how to wait for the right moment. Okay, that was his koyach. There's a moment during the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. And when he gets angry, he can say a person can make a... He can't curse Klal Yisrael. But there's one moment in the day, whatever this means, the way Hashem made the world aware of a prayer, where during that one moment in the day, during that one moment, if a person would issue a curse, it could chas v'shalom bichal. But you have to be very patient and wait for that one moment. Bilam was our nemesis, because our weakness is we don't have patience. The whole Shiva also B'Tamuz was meant to be the day of the Kabbalah Saluchos, the Luchos, and why didn't that happen? Vayihi ki boishesh Moshe l'redes minohar. Moshe was late. We didn't have patience. We want Avodah Zarah now, and we want it hot. Fire. Microwave generation. Now and hot. Bilam, our nemesis, he comes to attack us. I have patience. I can wait for that ace. Rashi explains in detail, the Gemara elaborates. I can wait and wait until that moment arrives, and precisely at that moment is when I'm going to trigger the klala. The Musar Haskel thus of Shavuosa B'Tamuz has to be, like Bilam himself says, it's a nation that awakes early. Ka'ari Yiskabar has to be an appreciation of patience. It has to be basically, life is all about timing. You have to be patient, you have to wait. It's a very powerful degree of discipline to a person to control and train himself. Everything to realize esakoil, also, Yofe Di'ito. Have a wonderful Shabbos and have a meaningful and easy fast. Yeah.